Well, yeah, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, I am praying for fire tonight. And you just ever have a moment or a season in life where you think that God is either about to do something unbelievable or that He's totally done with you? You ever been there? That God's getting ready to light up the world, or He's just done? You feel that way. You know, tonight as we look at Galatians chapter 3, I want to start by just kind of talking about names. My sophomore year in high school, there was a high school in Cincinnati at that time called the Cincinnati Academy of Physical Education, CAPE. And they had some of the most unbelievable athletes in the Cincinnati area. And they had a guy by the name of Carlos Snow. And Carlos Snow, his senior year, averaged over 200 yards a game rushing. He was a running back. And that's pretty unbelievable, isn't it? Let me tell you what's more unbelievable. He averaged about two quarters a game. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. He rushed for 7,700 yards in his high school career. And he ended up playing. I'm not even going to tell you where he played because I don't want to hear it. It's not about that tonight. But but when you think about it, Carlos Snow. Man, he was going to do something, wasn't he? With a name like that. Carlos Snow. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, this is very arbitrary, but I just think that's a phenomenal name. I think of what I could have done with my life if my name had been Carlos Snow. But no, my parents saw it necessary to name me Jamie, which means tall man in some languages. Not English, thank you. We're security. You see, your security, yeah, hope you got an army.
I have Jesus.
Oh, there you go. All right. So here, you know, we find this guy, and his name is Abram. Anybody heard of Abram in the Bible? Anybody know what Abram means? Abram means exalted father. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Abram. It's pretty cool if you got kids. Right? I mean, you imagine the ribbing this guy took in his life, right? People said, hey, there's the exalted father. Where are your kids? You know? And you know, he's like, I'm trying, you know? I mean, something. Abram, exalted father. So his name meant, had that name all his life. And then one day, Abram meets God. And God reveals Himself to Abram. And He says this phenomenal thing to Abram. He changes his name, right? I went through a time in my life when I wanted to change my name. I didn't like Jamie anymore. And so I wanted to be Rusty Brown. And nobody would call me Rusty or Brown. So this didn't work. I know. I don't know where that came from. God changes Abram's name. And He changes it to Abraham. Anybody know what Abraham means? Abraham means father of many nations. Right? So Abram goes from exalted father with no kids to father of many nations with no kids. I always wonder what, you know, I just love to have an insight on Abram's mind and what he was thinking when God promised him that he'd be the father of many nations. And He even changes his name to reflect that. And I want us to look at that tonight. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 6. The Bible says this, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. I think there's a big misunderstanding with salvation, comparing in the Old Testament to the New Testament. And so I want to be clear on what I believe the Bible teaches about salvation in the Old Testament. Abraham was saved by the same blood of Jesus that you and I were. Everybody with me? He was saved by the blood of Jesus. You got to remember, this is a God that doesn't wear a watch. This is a God that doesn't have a calendar. And so when Jesus dies on the cross, now this will be very controversial. You can email me at scarborough@hillview.com. But seriously, this just gets in people's skin when I say this, but I believe the Bible teaches it, so I'm going to say it. When Jesus died on the cross, yes, it is true that he died for every sin you committed. Praise the Lord. All right, let me just help you. There's a few moments coming up that you'll want to have some kind of manifestation of the Spirit. All right. He died for every sin we've ever committed. I mean, that's powerful. I mean, I don't know about you. I know what I did. I know. And that's hard for me on some days. Because God has this divine characteristic that he can forgive that sin and what else? Forget it. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? That he forgets that sin? Does the Bible teach that? That he'll take our sins he'll cast our sins as far as the east is from the west and remember them no more. All right. Now, some people just flat out don't believe it. You know why you have trouble believing that if you do tonight? Because you can't forget it. Only God can do that. I wish that I could forget. I wish I could forget some of that stuff. Because Satan still uses some of that stuff in my life and he brings it up to the forefront of my mind and he tells me, who are you to get up there and preach? Or who are you to serve God? Or who are you to tell anybody anything about Jesus? Look at all this junk. And you know what I do when the devil says that to me? Yeah, some of you are like, you tell him to shut up. And I wish I did. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm horrible. And listen, and you know when Satan does that to me personally more than any other day of the week? Not Sunday. Wednesday. For me, it's Wednesday. Why would it be for me a Wednesday? Because on Wednesday, I have to stand before you. And I have to preach these words, every one of which I believe. But Satan's there. Reminding me, right? Not only did Jesus die for every sin you've committed, he died for every sin you are committing. Now that fries people's minds. And there's two responses to that. One is somebody says, no, he didn't. You're on your own now. He died for the sins that you committed, but now it's on you. Let me tell you, if it's ever on you, you're done. He died for every sin you're committing. Here's what the other side to that says. Really? Every sin I'm committing. Well, then why don't I just commit some more, right? It's already in the bag, right? I was sharing with a guy this week and, you know, and he just struggled with that. You know, he can kind of, yeah, okay, I can see that he died for everything I committed because I was stupid, I was an idiot, but now here I am and, you know, now I ought to be better. And you know what I told him? Yes, you should be better. And I'll tell you this, when I look back at the past, it's a little better. I'd like to tell you it's a lot better. And if my wife didn't listen to some of these sermons, I'd tell you it's a lot better. But it's definitely better. There's no question. It is better because God is good. And yet, nonetheless, Jesus died for every sin you're committing. And you cannot stand on either of those sides and be in tune with God's word. You cannot stand on the side that says, oh no, you're on your own. You're never on your own. If you could be on your own, there wouldn't have been a cross. You'll never be on your own. And you can't be on the other side and say, well, then I'm going to do what I want. Because if Jesus really lives in you, your wants are going to be different. Do I have wants that are bad right now in my life? Oh, gosh. Y'all came with really low expectations, didn't you? I have wants that are bad. Some of the things I wanted before Christ, I still want. And I'd love to tell you something different. And my only motivation to tell you something different would be so that you would think more highly of me. But it's just not true. Some of the same stupid things I've battled with all my life, I still battle with. What's the difference? The difference now is that I'm in Christ. Paul said that the old man is there, right? That there's a battle going on inside of us. That old nature, the new nature, it is there. Jesus died for every sin you're committing. This isn't even what the sermon is. I'm taking too long. And then the third thing, and if that guy had trouble believing Jesus died for every sin he was committing, it floored him when I said, and Jesus died for every sin that you would commit. Because the blood is timeless. You're here tonight, I'm going to say most of us, maybe not all of us, most of us tonight believe there's a God. And I want you to know that this God is all knowing. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing. You didn't wake up one day and do something stupid and God was in heaven going, I can't believe it. If I'd only known, I'd have never saved you. That doesn't happen with God. He's God. He knows. That's why the scripture is so powerful that says that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Do you know what that verse is saying? God, with the full knowledge of everything you would do in your life, still went to the cross. He still did that. And Abraham and Moses and the saints from the Old Testament, they were all saved the same way that you and I were saved. It was the blood of Jesus that made all that possible. So here's Abraham, the father of many nations, who at the moment was childless. But God promised him he'd be the father of many nations. Now we know that he had how many children? Keep guessing. He had two. Sarah, his wife, had one. All right. But Abraham had two. Why did he have two? Is that how many it would take to father the rest of the nations? No, he had two because he had trouble believing that God could do what God said he would do. But now listen to what the Bible says. Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. If I am God, and aren't you so glad that I am not? If I'm God and I appear to Abram and say, you're going to be Abraham, the father of many nations. And he goes out and sleeps with some other woman because he's like, well, my wife's really old and, you know, I know what you want, God, and I know 2 + 2 = 4. I got it. I'm smoting Abraham. And now it's going to be Larry, right? Larry will be the father of many nations. I thought it was Abraham, yeah. He's gone. Are y'all with me, or am I just so far off? I mean, you're all just looking at me like, Larry, what verse is he on? I don't know why I'm licking my finger. It's funnier. I don't even know if I can recover at this point. Here's what I was trying to say in a very lengthy, verbose, irrelevant way. I think it's evident that Abraham had trouble believing God. Or believing how, let me say this, not believing God, believing how God would do it. But what does the Bible say? That's what I say. I say he had trouble believing. The Bible says he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Church, listen to me. Abraham went out and tried to do it his own way. And this is like, to me, Abraham's life's way more important than mine because I'm not Carlos Snow. I'm Jamie from Cincinnati, right? And it would seem like God's plan for Abraham's way more important than God's plan for me. And Abraham, gosh, y'all listen, I think he blew it. What a moron. Sarah, I think the plumbing is well beyond its years. And we're going to have to do something else. I mean, to me, that's when God has some other plan. When you mess up like that. But the Bible says, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. God had this plan for Abraham, and it was, let me tell you, it wasn't the A plan, the B plan, the C plan. It was the plan that God had for Abraham. Because the plan that God had for Abraham was not about Abraham. It was about God. Sometimes the most encouragement I can get from my life and the struggles that I have and the times that I blow it and I blow it again and I blow it again. I've messed up again and it just seems continuous. Sometimes the greatest encouragement I have about what God's going to do in my life is just to remember that it's not about me. It's about Him. It's about His purposes and His ways. And I'm so thankful that every sin I've ever committed is forgiven. And every sin I'm committing is forgiven. And every sin that I will commit is forgiven. Because that's not a testimony at all to who I am. It's a testimony to who God is. He makes a promise and He keeps it. And He tells the exalted Father that He's no longer the exalted Father. Now He's the Father of many nations. Let me tell you what incredibly deep theological implications that has for us today. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. So if you're here tonight and you have a relationship with Jesus, that he has forgiven your sin, just what I've been talking about, then according to the scriptures, you're a child of Abraham. What does that mean? Because we also understand that we're children of God. What does that mean? That means this: the promise that God made to Abraham, you and I, we're part of the fruit of that promise. Now, why is that controversial in Galatians? It's controversial in Galatians because some of the people are saying, no. You're only a child of Abraham if you've been circumcised. You have to do that. And so he says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. What did he say? All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This is very controversial in this moment, this season in the life of the church. Because what God told Abraham way back in Genesis, because I want you to understand, it didn't happen one day that as they were worshiping in their church, you know, all these Jewish believers, that some Gentile snuck in. And some Gentile heard the gospel and he accidentally got saved. And now God's thinking, what am I going to do now? Now the Gentiles are even in this. It didn't happen that way. From Genesis, God knew what he was going to do. Why? Because he knows everything. And God knew that Abraham being the father of many nations did not mean, everybody look up here, it did not mean he'd be the father of many Jewish nations. He'd be the father of many nations. And so what does that mean? Does that mean we'd have these Christian governments? Means we'd have Constantine all over the world making everybody become Christians to be part of that government? Not at all. Because we're children by what? By faith. We're blessed because of faith. And so Abraham is the father of many nations. And God knew this. God announced this to Abraham. This is what Paul is trying to make clear here to the church. The Gentiles becoming Christians is not some thing that God didn't know about. He told your father Abraham way back in Genesis that he'd be the father of many nations. How much so? So much so that all the nations on the earth would be blessed through you. This promise that God made. This is a phenomenal thing. It, to me, it's difficult to communicate this or articulate this because it's so hard for us to kind of grasp, you know, I mean, our whole lives, people all over the world, you know, in most every, you know, nation, there are Christians. As a matter of fact, I mean, you know, one of the goals that we have is to what I would call evangelize the world. When people talk about evangelizing the world, they are not talking, at least when I say it, I am not talking about every person on the earth being a Christian. That would be great. But what the Bible is speaking of, all the nations would be blessed, is that in every tongue and tribe, y'all familiar with the scripture, right? There would be a representative of Christ. And so we want to take the gospel to the places where the gospel has never been so that people will hear and that they can know. And so that in every nation represented on the earth, there'll be people there who know Jesus. He says this in verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law. Did everybody hear that? Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Why is he making all these references to the law? I mean, what is all this about? It comes back to this whole idea of circumcision. How will these people be saved if they're not circumcised? And so they were struggling with that the object of their salvation, the mode of their salvation, was this ritual. And they felt like that God had said this is what needs to happen. And Paul's explaining here that it's about faith. It's about trusting God. Abraham was obedient. He did what God asked him to do. What was one thing God asked him to do? What? Did God ask him to be circumcised? Pastor Jeff, say it because they all know you're smarter than me. Did God ask him to get circumcised? Yes. God said it would be a sign of the covenant. Be a sign of the covenant. Abraham, what was credited to him as righteousness? His faith. And how was his faith expressed? He did what God told him to do. God told him to get circumcised, and he did. So, was his circumcision credited to him as righteousness? It was his obedience. Everybody with me? Like in my office, this seems so simple to explain, and I'm finding it so difficult for me. I'm not saying you're not understanding. I'm saying I'm not quite understanding. Because for me, it just came down to this very simple thing. Abraham did what God told him to do. Period. He did what God told him to do. Leave your family, as Will said. Follow me to a land I will show you. How do you like those directions? Pre-GPS days. Because I'm always like, hey, can you just tell me where we're going? I may know a shortcut. God, if you'll just tell me where we're going, I know the road's pretty good. Why didn't he tell him? You're right. I just want you to trust me. Because if you're going somewhere, you might not follow me. So rather than the destination being a place, what if it is just follow me? I know you think you know the shortcuts. I certainly think I know them. God knows better shortcuts than us. I mean, God knows some great shortcuts. Rarely does it seem that he takes them. Because following him, I will go to some places I would never have gone on my own. And I mean that in two ways. I mean, there are some incredible places I couldn't have got to on my own, right? And there are some hard places I'd have never been willing to go on my own. He said to Abraham, follow me to a land I will show you. Paul wants them to understand it wasn't this act of circumcision. That wasn't it. I've had people argue with me in the past that the Bible says you should go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now, some of you in here think that's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. And some of you here are like, wait, I know where that's at. Hang on. Yeah, I know right where that's at. And we tell people, you've got to do it this way. You have to do it that way. And Jesus is saying, follow me. Trust me. That is the most difficult thing I think about salvation. I think particularly for a man. No offense to women at all. because I've never been one. Allegedly. For me, though, you know, as a man, you know, you want to work hard. You want to do something. I remember growing up when we moved in our house, man, we had a house you could barely even turn around in. Okay. But my dad was this phenomenal man. I'm slightly less phenomenal than him. Varying degrees, right? My dad could fix anything. Can you imagine the disappointment that he had with the son that God gave him? Right? My dad could fix anything. And I'm telling you, I don't know how many thousands of square feet he added onto that house. Every summer he'd do a project. And I was amazed by my dad at what he could do. And I don't know how my dad felt about the house, but I know how I felt about our house growing up. And, you know, I was telling somebody, I think it was Jeff or maybe Keith, you know, I go back to that house because they've since built a house and moved. I go back to that house sometimes. I'm like, look at this house. Man, I just remember it was a mansion, right? You know? And I would think, you know, if I were my dad, man, I would want to show everybody this house. You know, that I did. Look at this. And for us men, I mean, that's how we are about a lot of things, right? I mean, I've never built anything to show off to anybody except a Sunday. You know, I'm like, look at this. Holy cow. I'm the man. You know? But it's such the nature of a man. Look what I've done. That's why salvation is so hard. Because I don't bring anything to the table. When God saves me, I can't say, hey, look at what we did. Because I didn't do it. He saved me in spite of me. And the call to follow Him is the call to trust Him. The call to follow Him is the same thing as God saying, you can't do this. I told this guy. Because he was struggling. I know this guy, so what I'm going to tell you may appall, you may be appalled at this, but I'm going to tell you what I told him, but I know him and he took this well. I said, you ought to follow one of the other major world religions. You would like those. Because in those, you get to earn some sense of salvation. You get to earn your way to heaven, right? Now, obviously, he knew I said that in jest. Because if you follow a false God, you get a false heaven, a false sense of peace. You know, it's all false. And I said, you struggle with Christianity because God tells you, you are helpless. We're helpless. God made the promise to Abram. Note this, when Abraham acted on his own, right? And when he slept with the maidservant, it's not because he was just this evil guy who had had a thing for the maidservant for 20 years. I think Abraham just couldn't believe, you know, this was going to happen with Sarah, you know, his wife. And so he just tried to do something on his own. Guess what? That failed miserably. How many of you have been there? I have been there. When I thought, God, and here's what we're really saying, because I certainly didn't just say this, and you probably didn't either, but here's what we're saying. God, I can't trust you for this. So I've got an idea. I've got a plan. Paul is telling the Galatians, it is God who saves you, and God will save whoever He will. And you better be ready for this, you Jewish believers, that He's going to save people that don't even know who Abraham is. But it's okay. He even told Abraham that all nations will be blessed because of the promise that God made to Abraham, that God would do that. I knew tonight was going to be a struggle to get through the whole text. But I just want to encourage you. We're going to have a time of altar. And I think there's a lot of us here tonight. And we've been doing we've been doing our best. You know what I mean by that? I've got my plan. God, I know that you've said this, but I just don't see how that's going to happen. And so, God, I'm going to try something here. And I hope that you will. What do we always pray? God, I'm going to do this, and I hope, you know, I talk to folks that are single all the time. It's usually a young single lady I'm talking to, and she starts liking this young man who's not a Christian. But she gets involved anyway, and guess what she hopes? I hope God will bless it. And somebody always has that one story out of a million where the guy got saved, right? Abraham, his obedience, it was credited to him as righteousness because he did what God wanted him to do. That's what God is calling us to do tonight, to follow him. And when you follow him, you'll get to some places, the heights of which you never would have gotten to on your own. But he's also going to lead you through some valleys that you would avoid at all costs if you could. But he's saying, follow me. And he's calling for us to trust him. To trust him. We used to sing an old hymn at my church. I don't know. I know Keith will know it. I'm not asking you to do it tonight. I know that you remember it. Because we'd sing, I don't know, I think it had like 8 stanzas. And we'd sing at least 16 of them at the altar. And the feeling was, we're going to sing until somebody comes. Right? And my dad would just hold me and I'd be like, oh, just let me go, they'll quit. He said, trust and obey. For there's no other way. Trust and obey. And that is the story of the father of many nations. To trust and obey. You may have totally messed up, just like the father of many nations. But the plan that God has for you, the plan that God has for you is for his glory and not yours. And he still says, even after we slip and fall down, he still says, follow me. Follow me. It's his work. Will you pray with me? If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I just want to invite you to come to the altar tonight. I mean, a time just to really lay it down. You know, maybe you're one of the guys I was talking about tonight. A guy who says, man, this is hard because I feel like, you know, I need to work this out. And I want to tell you with all the love in my heart, you can't work it out. You'll never be able to work it out. I couldn't work it out. Nobody in here could work it out. Nobody could work it out. Only Jesus could work it out for us. And that's why he went to the cross. And I'm going to plead with you tonight to trust him. To follow him. He truly is the Son of God. And he died on the cross. He rose again. And he alone has the power to forgive sin once and for all. And only he can save you. I'm going to ask you tonight to trust and obey. Lord, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the cross. Lord, I thank you specifically tonight that you called Abraham the father of many nations. Because that means that your grace extended even to us here in this nation. And Lord, I pray that we would follow you with a passion and a fervor. Lord, I pray tonight that this altar just would be a holy place, Father, that we would come and for some of us just repent because we've said we've been following you, but we really haven't. We said we've been trusting you, but we really haven't. And some of us here tonight, God, we are flat on our face in this life because we thought we had a better way. But I thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. And I pray that you would move as only you can. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. I'm not going to keep the altar long. I'm just going to ask you to be patient for a few minutes. But I'm asking you to be obedient. So you come. The altar is open.